There's that loneliness that comes from even when you're part of quite a big crowd or a big group of people. Loneliness is not just when you're sort of on your own physically. You can be in a big crowd of people and you just kind of have that sense that you don't fit in here. Everyone else is different to you. And then there is that crushing, awful loneliness of when a loved one has gone. Loneliness is part of our human condition. It has been around forever. And yet it is something that is very different to solitude. Solitude is something that is more like a voluntary withdrawal from people. Solitude can be like a refreshing experience in some ways. So that idea, maybe even during the holidays, of having a bit of time to recharge the batteries. That spiritual idea that's so important of retreat, that choice that we sometimes make to be alone. But loneliness is very different to all of that. Loneliness is something that is forced upon us. And loneliness is always against our will. And yet it is something that all of us will experience at one time or another in our lives. And we don't talk about it very much. And yet the pandemic really shone a spotlight on this condition like few other events have. Because we were forcibly locked down. We were socially distanced. We were reduced to virtual interaction. And I remember speaking to many of you, many of us having conversations virtually on Zoom, on the phone at that time, and all saying that for a while at the beginning it was maybe okay, but the longer this went on, the more difficult and the more challenging that it became. I remember in particular in those days hearing a story that was shared on the radio one morning. It was the story of an expat family who'd moved to Australia. And they were sharing about how delighted they were that they had managed to get grandparents back in the UK to learn how to use FaceTime in order that they could all stay in contact across the world. And I just remember at the end of the interview, the dad saying something really, really interesting. He said, "I thought technology was going to be the solution to all of our problems until one day I realized that I didn't even know the name of my next door neighbor who was living on his own." Now, I want to share with you the reason why we are speaking about this morning. And it is that it was, as happens during the summer season, we don't have any particular pattern that we follow. Our guidance is really just to go with where the Lord leads us in terms of the themes that we speak about on a Sunday morning during the summer season. And I kind of felt the Lord prompting me to speak on this theme a couple of weeks ago. And I didn't particularly approach it with much relish because it's a very difficult topic for us to talk about. And I was looking for every excuse to get out of talking about it until last Sunday when we stood here and Felicity was being interviewed by me. And Felicity at one point just shared about how during the New Life for the City initiative that she'd been going around doors and she'd been telling us about her experience and the reaction to all of that. And she kept saying that what was coming back time and time again from the community around us was this sense of loneliness that is out there. And as I stood here interviewing Felicity about that last week, I felt this deep sense of conviction from the Lord, the sense of confirmation that we need to talk about this reality that so many people in our community are going through. We've probably all heard the World Health Organization report from last year, which declared that loneliness is a global public health concern. And I think that's one thing to read that, but I think it is quite another thing for us to hear it from our neighbors on our doorsteps and to realize that this problem is all around us. And maybe even with some of you in this room today, or people that you will know and are very dear to you in your own lives. And it can be brought about by so many different factors. Health, poor health can lead to isolation. Getting a diagnosis can lead to a turning in on ourselves and not wanting to be part of community. There can be financial difficulties which prompt us to kind of turn away from the world, to lock ourselves down. Retirement can bring about a whole new way of life that suddenly seems much more lonely than the life that we once had. There can be a relationship breakdown. There could be becoming a new parent. Old friendships that you once had just melting away because you're under the pressure of time. You don't have so much time to see people anymore. Or it might be because of what Johnny was talking about last week, those storms of life that we go through. And sometimes our reaction to all of that is to just try and turn away from the world and lock ourselves down. There are lots of reasons for loneliness, but the effect is always the same. It chips away at our self-esteem. It erodes our sense of who we are. It can lead to all senses of physical and mental health. It is an epidemic, what is going on out there. And yet it is a largely hidden epidemic. It is a largely unspoken one. And yet I think that if we are to not only connect with our neighbors in meaningful ways in the years ahead, and this is what they are telling us is one of the big things that they are experiencing out there, but more importantly, as today's passage pointed to, if we are to be good disciples of Christ, embodying hope in this world, then we need to know how to respond to this huge social epidemic that is affecting people in our community. And it is really important that we know where, how to point to what the Bible has to say about this issue, and to understand how our faith allows us to respond to it in ways that are actually quite different to some of the solutions that the world prescribes for loneliness. And I want to say that I recognize that as a church, as the church in the world, we shy away from talking about this topic, and we do so because the church, by its very nature, is a community. And so how can we possibly be lonely? Well, the Bible doesn't shy away from naming it. And the Bible doesn't shy away from naming it as part and parcel of the human experience. So for instance, in Psalm 25, we find David reduced to a really low point and calling out to God in utter desperation, saying, "Turn to me, Lord, and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." We get the Apostle Paul, who, writing from jail, also writes about his loneliness when he says in 2 Timothy, "At my first offense, no one came to stand by me. Everyone deserted me." And of course, Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, at that hugely poignant, difficult moment as he stared into the future and contemplated his fate. We are told there that he was grieved and distressed. And what he wanted was three of his disciples to stay with him in his hour of need. But in their human weakness, they fell asleep, and they left him there to contemplate his fate on his own. And then at his very death, he cried out in lament, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So loneliness is real. Let's talk about this, because it can affect any and all of us. But let's declare that the first thing we need to say about loneliness from our perspective as Christians is that if there is one person who knows what it is to experience the utter anguish and agony that can come from loneliness, it is Jesus Christ himself. And the fact that Jesus experiences these intense periods of loneliness at the time of his death is really important. And we'll come back to that in a moment. But first, I think it is helpful if we take a step back. A step back to the beginning, to the very beginning, to another garden, and this time to the Garden of Eden. Because when we reread the creation story, what really strikes us is that, well, God will repeatedly say that lots of things are good, and it was good, it was good, it was good, and it was very good even. But the first thing that God will say is not good is isolation. In Genesis 2, verse 18, God says this, "It is not good," this is the first time that phrase is used, "it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." In other words, what we are being told here is that our Creator, right at the very beginning, knew and understood that human beings needed other human beings in order to thrive in life, and that His will for us was that we would never experience loneliness. Loneliness is not part of God's plan for your life. So where does it come from then? Well, just after the creation of Adam and Eve, we have the first act of disobedience, original sin, as it is called, when Eve eats from the tree that God had told them not to eat from and gives some of the fruit to Adam to eat as well. And the consequence of that act of disobedience is that they immediately feel this crippling sense of shame. And their response to that is that they try to hide from God, and they attempt to disconnect themselves from life in the garden. And as they try to hide away, to withdraw from community, what we have here is the first example of loneliness, as Adam and Eve separate themselves from the life that came from that community with God in the garden. Now, I want to be absolutely clear that any loneliness that we experience in life, any periods of isolation that we might go through in life, are not necessarily the result of sin. Far from it. The passage makes it clear in Genesis that loneliness is one of the manifestations of the fact that brokenness exists in the world that we currently live in. And loneliness is just one of those manifestations of this broken world that we live in. But God is not content to leave us in that state. And that is what takes us back then to the cross. Because if Jesus has, through his death and through his resurrection, paid the price for all sin and overcome the brokenness of the world, then it follows that loneliness too has been overcome. That does not mean that it no longer exists. Just like poverty, just like disease, just like mourning, and all those other things that are with us in this age, but that will one day be no more, so loneliness is a temporary condition that some of us go through, and it is temporary because Jesus has overcome it, and our faith in him gives us true hope that no matter how isolated we may feel in certain seasons of this life, we can and we must look forward with confidence to that day when all things will utterly be made new, and when loneliness itself will never be experienced by any human being ever again. So the Christian answer to loneliness is that it will never have the final word in our lives. No one who puts their faith in Jesus Christ is condemned to a life of loneliness. And in fact, Jesus cares so much about this matter that he tells us that when we put our faith in him, we become, as we sang earlier, children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. What that means is that when we put our trust and our faith in Jesus, that our faith in him brings us into a relationship, firstly, with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but secondly, into relationship with other believers as part of this spiritual family. And all of that means that we are always connected to something that is bigger than ourselves. And that connection to God, that connection to each other, is not some temporary arrangement and not some temporary solution to any problem that we will go through in this life. It is forever. And it is for everything that we will go through. That is why this promise that Jesus gives his disciples in today's reading is so important, when he says, "And surely I am with you always, always, to the very end of the age." It is a promise that completes the incarnation. Emmanuel, God with us. But it is in fact the timeless promise of God to his people. To Joshua, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." To Isaiah, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." To all of us who have put our trust in Jesus and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that spirit of trust, as it says in John 14, that the world cannot receive, but that you who know him receive, because he dwells with you and he dwells in you. This is the powerful presence of God with us that allows the psalmist, in one of his loneliest moments, to declare with complete conviction, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And I know from speaking to people in this church family in recent days and recent weeks who have gone through similar experiences, that peace, that love that they have experienced in some of the most isolating moments in their lives, because they know the reality of what it means to have God with them and God in them. We will all go through moments of loneliness in this life. And there will be many people around us, in our community, in our families, in our work groups, who will go through this. And they might not necessarily even be showing signs of it. And sometimes I think it's really important that if this is such a big epidemic out there that is ruining people's lives, that we as followers of Christ, as those who have the Holy Spirit in us, ask the Holy Spirit routinely to reveal to us, to show us, to point us to those people who might just need a little touch of God's encouragement in God's hope in their lives at any given time. But the other thing that we must never do, whether it's we ourselves who go through this, or whether it's we ourselves who are bringing messages of hope to other people who go through this, we must always rebuke that lie that tries to say that somehow we are on our own when we go through these experiences in life, that somehow we've been abandoned, that somehow God has forgotten about us, or that God has deserted us. That is a lie that we must never allow to take root in our heads when we go through these particular seasons. And it is an encouragement and a hope that we must always share with others who are going through these moments of difficulty in their lives. Because the hope that comes from faith in Jesus is that we are permanently, always connected to the very source of life itself, to Jesus Christ as the one who pours out life into us. We are permanently connected to that source of life. And the connection that holds us is called love. It is a love that is stronger than any isolation we will ever go through. It is a love that is stronger than any loneliness you or I or the world out there will ever experience. It is a love that, as it says in Romans, neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor our fears for today, nor our worries for tomorrow, that not even the powers of hell itself can separate us from. It is a love that has conquered all brokenness. It is a love that says to us, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, we want to thank you that your word promises us that we are never on our own, Lord. No matter what it is that we go through in life, Lord, that we never, ever go through it on our own. And we want to thank you, Lord, that through the sacrifice of Jesus, through his death and through his resurrection, that all of these things that will come our way from time to time in this life have ultimately been defeated. And that therefore, whatever isolation or loneliness that we might go through from time to time in our lives, that we cling on to the ultimate hope that these things are defeated, that they do not define who we are, and that we are not destined or condemned to live with them forever. Lord, I want to pray for anyone here in this place today who is currently going through such a season in their lives at the moment, Lord, that you would just pour out that living hope into their lives today through that promise of Jesus Christ that you are with us always, forever, and to the very end of the age. And Lord, I want to pray for all of us here today that by that Spirit that lives within us, that, Lord, you would just prompt us and you would challenge us and you would give us the words that we need to reach out to the people around us who are in so desperate need to hear that this loneliness that they might go through is not something that need condition their lives and need be the sum total of their lives. Lord, I pray that you would prompt us and send us, like those first disciples, to be those who bring this message of hope that Jesus Christ is with us always to the very end of the age, into those places, into those people's lives that need it so desperately at this time. And Lord, we pray that in and through this great work that you will do, that you would be glorified in all of this, and that there will be many lives of those in our community, in our families, that are changed as they hear that this epidemic of loneliness is overcome by the love of Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. Amen. Together and sing, How Great is Our God.